Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. The title of my sermon this morning is, How Strong Are You? How strong are you? Okay, the first verse begins with, Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Okay, you saw that Roman soldier in that video there, and that's what the Apostle Paul was looking at as he was in captivity. He was actually chained to a Roman soldier. And he watched them getting dressed every day, probably seen them outside fighting and practicing and stuff like that. And he applied this analogy to our armor that we have in Jesus Christ and the battles we're facing. And it truly is a battle. As you can see, Satan's there. He's a liar. He's the father of lies. And he even tries to deceive us. Okay? But he's a defeated foe. But he still can bite. Okay, that's this idea we have today. It's said that a rattlesnake is poisonous, but even after you kill it and cut its head off, it could still bite you and kill you. Okay, so Satan's head has been cut off, but he's still looking to bite us. He's still looking to take us down with the doubts and things that just weaken us in our Christian walk. Most of it's complacency. Just making the water lukewarm. It's good enough. Okay, we don't have to get too crazy with it. So let's look at this now, and we'll see where we are here. Okay, how strong are you? Maybe you're emotionally strong. Maybe you can handle a lot of pressure, work for long hours day after day. Maybe you were the one who was the emotional anchor in your family, and everyone leans on you for support. There are many kinds of strength, but the most important one is the strength you need in the Lord. True Christian strength is not of the body. True Christian strength is of the Spirit, measured in faithfulness, trust, and perseverance. By grace, we live by faith. There are many things to fight in this world. For instance, you can fight sickness, fatigue, death of a loved one, failure of your plans and hopes, questions without answers, and pain without reason. Yes, we fight in this world, but we also fight in the supernatural world. It is Satan who opposes you. It is he who seeks to sift you and destroy your bodies and soul in the eternal blackness that will be his unending grave of torment. But we have strength. We have strength. The sources of our strength, okay? This strength comes from the Lord, not ourselves. Note that Paul says here, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Thus Paul states that there is strength and power available for the Christians beyond their own. Okay, it says in 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5, For though we walk in the flesh, we're not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but we have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments of every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Okay, so it's not of the flesh, it's spiritual battle. It's the good warfare we're waging. Divine power to destroy strongholds. Wow, that's a big burden to carry, right? We have divine power to destroy strongholds, okay? Our enemy, the devil, is coming against us, okay? He hates us. He hates human beings in general, God's creation, okay? He's already got the rest of the world. He wants to take us with him, okay? He wants to deceive us. And if anything, weaken our testimony. So when we go out there to fight, we have nothing, okay? We have no energy. We're walking out there just lackadaisical, okay? Thus, Paul states that there is strength and power available for the Christian beyond their own, which Paul already referred to in his earlier epistles in Ephesians 1:19 and 3:16. It says God gives power to those who submit to the word, okay? Which Paul refers to in his epistle to the Philippians, okay? Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Okay, so we get our strength from God. And our strength comes when we have reverence, respect, and humility for God. Okay, we need those. We need that reverence. We need that respect. Okay, it says, God gives us a strength, but we work out our salvation. Okay, salvation is a free gift from God. You just don't take it and that's it, and you sit down and then watch the game from afar off. He gave us that ability to get down, get into the game. Okay, we're not spectators. We're working for the kingdom of God. So he prepared us. He gave us this thing, not just to hide it under a bushel basket, as it says in the word, but to take it and go into the world and be light to the world, okay? Let them see the difference in us, okay? We're light. Light and darkness don't coexist, okay? They don't. I always like to tell the story. We were down in a cavern years ago with my dad and Loray Caverns, I think it was in Virginia. I tell this story to the guys a few times, but they brought us into a room as a gigantic cavern, and they wanted to show us what true total darkness is, and they shut the lights off. You couldn't see your thumb if you put it to your eyeball. You were blind. It's pure darkness. And somebody lit a match, and it looked like the spotlights were on at Yankee Stadium. The whole place was illuminated from one little match. Okay, so the light always overshines the darkness. Okay, we're to be light of the world. Let our light shine that people may see our light. Okay, strength comes from the armor of God. Okay, so he tells us to put on the full armor of God. It's a defensive thing. It's you're going to battle. You don't go out there naked. You go out there fully equipped. Okay, whatever war in the Roman times, war in modern times. Okay, we need to be fully equipped. Romans 13:12 says, The night is far gone. The day is at hand. So let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Okay, so that's part of the armor, is our light. Put light to the world. Let them see our light. Okay? Ephesians 4:13-14 says, until we attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning and the craftiness and deceitful schemes. Okay, we're no longer be children. Okay, tossed about. Okay, we're babes in Christ, but we got off the milk. Okay, we're going to be on the meat of the word. There's a certain time to grow. You're just saved. You're born again. You're drinking milk. Okay, it's nice. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. That's great. But we need to be into the meat of the word. We need to be growing. We need to be reading and studying and praying, fellowshipping. Fellowshipping is a big part of it also. Okay? The point is, we're not left to our own feeble strength, but there is divine strength that we can put on to protect us in the battles we must face. Okay, John 1:6 says, ask by faith without doubting. God wants us to believe it, okay? Without doubting. And we ask by faith. And, you know, it's not the name it and claim it type thing where, you know, don't doubt it. God's going to give you the pink Cadillac and all the other stuff. But it's if you're into God's word, if you're into the meat of the word, if you're studying and praying and devoting yourself to Jesus Christ, you're going to know what God wants of you. And your desires are going to have the same desires of God. Okay, so we're asking by faith without doubting, because God wants that. Okay, speaking of battles, we next consider the need for this strength. And it says to stand against the wiles of the devil. Okay, and the wiles of the devil. The wiles, what are the wiles of the devil? It's cunning arts, deceitful craft, trickery, okay? It's manipulation, okay? In 2 Corinthians 2:11, it says, outwitted by Satan, okay? Don't be outwitted by Satan, okay? Don't let the manipulated spirits get to you, deceitful spirits. Okay? It also says many times in this passages to stand. Stand, therefore. It says it four times in this gospel. To stand. Okay? Stand is the idea of you're in the battle. We're fully armed. You're planting your feet. I'm going to get into more on that when we talk about that part. But to stand means to have a full, firm grip. Okay, not sliding and slipping around on the ice. We have cleats. We're standing in the Word of God. We're secure in Jesus Christ. And the most thing the devil wants to do is make people doubt their salvation. Well, you messed up. God can never forgive you of that. Look how weak you are. Oh, you had that bad thought. You know, you cursed that guy on Holland Boulevard for cutting you off. Okay, look what you did. You can't be saved. Okay, this is where the fiery darts start to come. Okay, to stand, there's various wiles of the devil, but Christians not need to be ignorant of devices. Let me see, I said 2 Corinthians. Okay, 2 Corinthians 2:11. So we would not be outwitted by Satan. We are not ignorant of his designs. Okay, so we need to be aware of where he's coming from. Blinding to people to false doctrines. Okay, 1 Timothy 4:1-3. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the later times, some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and the teachings of demons through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared, who forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Okay? So it says, expressly says at later times, so will depart from the faith by deceiving spirits. I don't believe we could lose our salvation if you're truly saved. But like I said, he could break us down, make us weak, make us ineffectual for Jesus Christ, and maybe even leave us alone. If we're that bad, you know, we're not serving Jesus Christ. Got saved, sat in this pew for 25 years, and didn't do a thing. Never spoke the word about Jesus, never went out and had intercessory prayer for other people, never served the kingdom. Okay, he's good. All right, good. Just sit there because you're not doing anything anyway. You know, just sit back, enjoy yourself, watch the parade go by. Okay? Only with the Lord's help can we overcome the wicked one. 2 Thessalonians 3:3 says, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. Okay, so the right man's on our side. Okay, we know who our help comes from. It comes from the Lord, right? Okay, only with the Lord's help can we overcome the evil one. Okay, and then it goes on. We wrestle against spiritual hosts of wickedness. Not only Satan, but we battle against principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this age, spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. There are demonic forces at play. While I do not believe demonic possession exists today for Christians as it did in the days of Christ, there are certainly demonic influences such as doctrines of demons. Okay, 1 Timothy, again, I think I read this already, but okay, now the Spirit explicitly says that in later times people will depart. There's demons out there influence people's lives, weakening us, and we need to just be strong. Okay, there's stages of spiritual growth. Okay, and it's not accomplished all at once, but we need to be on that road. Okay. Getting ready for the battle. We may not fully understand how the rulers of darkness operate, but clearly we see the need for all the strength God provides us in order to stand against such forces. What is the strength God provides? As we continue in the text, Paul explains. Colossians, I'm going to read this. Colossians 1, 17 and 18. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that everything might be preeminent. Okay, because he is the power. He's the one who's in control. We can't forget that. Okay? Okay. The nature of our strength. This is the whole armor of God. Okay? We notice in verses 11 and 10. Put on the full armor of God that you may stand against the devil's schemes. That's the NIV. Wilds means schemes, basically. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces in the heavenly realms. Okay, so we stand against the wiles of the devil. And what is the wiles of the devil? His cleverness, craftiness, sin, immoral practice, false theology, false religion, cunning, deception, worldly enticements. Okay, he's got a whole bag full of tricks. Okay, it says the devil can't read our mind, but he's been around there long enough and seen human beings for millenniums. He knows what we're like. Okay, he knows the weaknesses we have. We know the weaknesses we have, so imagine him. So he can't read our minds, and he doesn't indwell us, but he does know what our weaknesses are. And like you all know, I'm a fisherman, and fishermen like to use bait and lures, and you throw them out, and you reel them in, and sometimes they bite, sometimes they don't bite. But once in a while, man, that looks so good. I got to bite that thing. I know it's a false thing. I know it's artificial bait, but I'm going to go for it anyway. That's when I got him. I got him now. And he likes to play us, too. You know, when you bring a fish in, you don't want to bring it in real quick. You want to go slow. Play him a little bit. You know, let him fight back. But that's his strategy, okay? We'll be able to withstand the evil day, though. We need not part, but the whole armor of God. He provides to every Christian. Every element Paul now describes is essential to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Okay, and there's another verse that gives you an idea of what's going on in heaven with Satan and coming against us. Okay, it's Revelation 12, 9 to 10. And that great dragon was thrown down, the ancient serpent, who was called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and power, the kingdom of our God and authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before God. He's the accuser of the brethren. See what they're doing? Okay? They say they're following you. You know, they're watching a football game on Sunday, and you know, I don't need to go to church. That's not that important today. Okay? I don't need the fellowship. I don't need to be out there praying and witnessing and having studies with the brothers and assembling together. Okay? It's not as important. Okay? Every element is essential to be strong in the Lord. Okay? The whole armor of God involves. Okay? Now we're getting into the uniform. The whole armor of God involves truth, which is like a belt. Okay, now the Roman soldiers, when they got dressed, you saw the video, they had like a tunic and it would hang down. The tunic was just like a robe, okay, long robe. And when they went to battle, they would have to pick it up because it would get them tied up. So they get the belt, the truth, they get that belt, they stitch it around their bodies. It also girded their loins. It gave them that, you know, they feel tight. It's like a girdle, you know, it's like strength, okay? It was also used to hang up their swords and their daggers and whatever else they had with them. So it's important, that belt. But what is the belt? The belt is truth, okay? Truth is what? Truth for us is integrity, okay? It's integrity, it's honesty, it's moral values, it's principles. We discover the truth in prayer and study of the Word. The Word says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Okay, once we know the truth, we know Jesus Christ. We know he died for us. He came to this earth to suffer, to pay for the penalty of our sins. We know that truth. We're secure in that. Okay, don't ever lose that. Okay, that's our strength. Okay, we know the truth about Jesus Christ. The world running around listening to a lie because the Bible says Satan is the father of lies, John 8:44. Okay? It says, and then the other verse was John 8:31, the truth will set you free. Truth can free us from sin, which can easily beset us. I've got to read another verse. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and of the marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Powerful, powerful. Okay, so that's our first piece of equipment, that belt that holds us together, that gives it that strength. Okay, the next is the righteousness, talking about here, righteousness, which guards like a breastplate. You saw again in that video, the breastplate that the Roman soldiers would wear. The purpose of the breastplate was, that's where all your vital organs are, okay? So you get jabbed, you get stabbed in the kidney and the heart and the liver and the lung. That gave you a good amount of protection, okay? And what protects us, okay? Righteousness. Doing that which is good and right will guard your hearts, okay? 1 Thessalonians, did I write that one down? No, but it says 1 Thessalonians, trust in God's promise. That's what it's talking about. Okay. Otherwise, ungodly living brings on emotional guilt as well as judicial guilt. Paul may have also referenced the righteousness of Christ, that justification found only in him, that protects us from accusations of Satan. Amen? Okay, Philippians 3:9 says, and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes from faith in Jesus Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. Okay, so our righteousness is faith, and faith is our breastplate. Okay, righteousness. Okay, that strength that we have in him. And it also to protect us from the accusations of Satan. Okay, free us from immorality. Okay, next is the gospel of peace, which is crucial to our ability to stand. The gospel of peace, they're talking about shoes. Okay, the Roman soldiers wore sandals naturally, but they used to put like nails through their shoes, like cleats, again, so they could stand. Okay, so when they're out there, you know, if you start sliding around, you're not going to do too good because you're going to fall back, somebody's going to cut your head off. Okay, it's that those cleats on those shoes that help them to stand. And that's what it is. The gospel is God's power unto salvation, Romans 1:16-17. Armed with the gospel, we have beautiful feet that enables us to take glad tidings to others. Okay, the feet that spread good news talks about Romans 10. Stand firm, build up your faith. Okay? It's the power unto salvation, okay? Make sure you got nails in those feet. Make sure you're standing firm in what you believe, okay? Because, like I say again, Satan's going to play games with you. And this is all part of the armor of God. We need every piece of this equipment to stand in the evil day. And it's pretty obvious we're in an evil day right now. I mean, there's darkness flying all over the place here. Okay, we went through shoes. Now we're talking about the shield. Okay, faith, which is like a shield. You saw the Roman soldier, I've caught it in that video. He took his shield and he dumped it in water. The shields back then were made out of wood and they were covered with leather. Okay, and the purpose of that was because they would get those fiery darts shot at them. So after they dumped them in the water, it would extinguish the fiery darts. Okay, so we need that shield, that defense. It's a defensive weapon. A strong conviction in God can protect us from every fiery dart that Satan can throw at us. False doctrines, lust of the flesh, persecution. This faith only comes from the word of God. Like flaming arrows, the enemy would take these arrows and dip them in pitch, which is pitch is tar, basically. And they put it in there and shoot them. That's what Satan does. Okay, not enough to shoot us, he's got to burn us too. Okay, and he sends those fiery darts at it, we block it. Okay, once in a while one gets through, but we stand firm. We're strong. Yeah, and the shoes help us to stand. Okay, strong conviction in God can, strong conviction in God can protect us from every fiery dart that Satan can throw at us. Okay, this faith comes only from the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Okay. Next, salvation is like a helmet. Okay, and a helmet. What does a helmet do? Protects the brain, okay, the head. Without the head, without the brain, I mean, we could have the heart and the lung and everything else, but without the head, okay. And what did they say in my back Greek wedding, my big Greek wedding? The man is the head and the woman's the neck, right? I remember that. But I don't know what that has to do with this, but anyway, okay. Here is the offense of, salvation is like a helmet. Paul speaks of a hope of salvation as our helmet. Okay, the helmet is our hope of salvation. Thus, it is the hope that salvation provides that can protect our minds against things like despair and fear and doubt. Okay, that's that helmet. It protects us from that fear and that doubt. Okay, it's the Word of God. Okay, staying into the Word of God. How do you know God's will for our lives, you know? It's hard to know. But you ever read the scripture and all of a sudden you're going through something and you read a particular part of scripture and God speaks to you through that and you say, wow, how did he know? How did he know today I was going to preach on this and the tragedies are going to come? God knows, okay? But he wants us to be in communion. He wants us to read his word because every time you read it another time, it's always new, right? You can read through the Gospel of John 100 times and the 101st time, well, I never saw that before. And that's the miracle of the Word of God, that he speaks to us through his Word. Amen? Okay. Salvation is a helmet. Again, this, it is the hope that salvation provides that can protect our minds against the things like despair and fear and the other garbage that Satan's throwing at us. Okay, now we get onto the offensive weapon. All the other weapons were defensive weapons. Okay, there was a shield, the helmet, the breastplate, the belt. Okay, now we're going into the sword, which is the Word of God. Okay, this is the only weapon that's defensive that we could fight back at Satan. And we know that Jesus went through this in the desert when he was tempted for 30 days in the desert with Satan. And I was amazed at the gall of Satan. You imagine knowing the Son of God, he knew who he was, and tempting him. Now, he would try to tempt Jesus, who are we? You know, so he's going to be out there looking to get us. And how did Jesus fight back? What did he give him? He gave him the Word of God. He fought back with the Word. That was the defensive weapon. And every time he did it, give him the Word of God. Stab him, jab him. Okay, that's our weapon. Here is the offensive weapon that Christians much use in their battles, and it is a powerful one. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing," I read this already, "but piercing to the vision of the soul and the spirit of the joints and the marrow and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." Pierces right through. It's right to the liver there, right to the spine. Okay, so it's an offensive weapon that the Christian must use in the battle. With this sword, it is possible for the spirit to cut to the heart and those to hear the word. To destroy, it has power to destroy strongholds. It's a sharing of your testimony is the word of God. Our testimony is so important. You've heard this so many times that anybody you witness to can argue that, well, that's what you believe. I don't believe that. But when you give your testimony, nobody could argue. Nobody could tell you what you believe and what you've experienced. Give your testimony to somebody, okay, and they can never dispute it, okay? How I came to Lord Jesus Christ, how he saved me from my sin, how the difference it's made in my life, okay? That's the greatest weapon you could use when sharing the gospel with somebody, okay? The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit, okay? Sharper than any two-edged sword. Okay, power to destroy strongholds. Next, we go to prayer. Wow, this is really powerful. Prayer is the important thing. Prayer, the means by which we remain watchful. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus taught that we must watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The sort of watchful prayer that is effective is the one that is with all perseverance, as Jesus taught in the parable of the, we're going to get into that one. But let me stop there. In the parable of the persistent widow. But not getting too fast away from this. It says in Matthew 26:41, the spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. Okay? In our own strength, we're weak. The flesh is weak. It's decaying. It's falling apart. I know I'm getting older, and I realize that now that, you know, I used to hear the old guys say, yeah, as long as you have your health, okay, you know. I grew up in a Jewish neighborhood in Brooklyn, you know, and the old Jewish man would go, hey, you got your health, you got everything. It's partially true. If you have your health without Jesus, you don't have anything, okay? So the health, it's nice to have your health, but if you have a healthy soul, what good would it do if I gained the whole world and lost my own soul, okay? What could I give in exchange for that, okay? Okay, so he gives us the power to destroy strongholds. We need to share our testimony with the world. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Okay? So we need to be strong, and prayer helps us. I think everybody struggles with prayer. Some people, and not past the mark. Past, if you could hear this thing, you do not struggle with prayer. You are a prayer. He's an inspiration to me. I always thought I was a pretty good prayer until I heard past the mark. But, you know, I'm a sprinter. He's a long-distance runner. You know, and I'm like, wow, I'm amazed by him. He should be in the, if they had Olympics for prayer, he'd be the gold medal winner. But it doesn't matter if, you know, like Paul, Brother Paul says sometimes, even if we make a sigh, sometimes God knows what we're going through. Right, Paul? You go, Lord, I can't do it. Can't do it. You got to give me that strength. I need, my batteries are low. Okay? Pray in the Spirit. Okay? And you get into the Spirit by serving God and doing His will and doing these other things, getting equipped, putting on the full armor of God. Okay? Stand strong in the Lord. Again, it said four times, stand. It's hard to stand sometimes, but we need to. It says, with all perseverance, as Jesus taught the parable of the persistent widow. Okay? Sometimes it's persistence. It says, I like the King James Version. In James 5, it says, the frequent fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The frequent fervent. Not God, you know, bless me, thank you for my new car I got. And that's a fervent. We need something with passion. God wants us to know that this is truly what we need and what we want. Okay, let me read you the story of the persistent widow. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, so that she will not beat me down on her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says, and I will not give justice to his elect who cry over him day and night. He will delay long over them. I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Okay, so if ungodly people could ask for things, how much more should we, okay, in faith, come to God, pleading with God? Lord, I don't know if we change God's mind, but he enjoys that. He wants us to be true to the word and what we believe and what we're standing for. Not just hearers of the word, but doers also, okay? But playing games with God, you know, I think it's going to be non-effectual, our prayer life. Okay, so we need to be true to the word, standing in our faith, putting on the full armor of God, speaking the truth with love, being doers of the word, showing the world who we are. Okay, let them see the Lord. Let them know what we are by just looking at us. Okay, did anybody ever say, ask you, without knowing who you are, just meeting you, are you a believer? You're a Christian? I've done it to people, and I just could feel it and feel the power of the Holy Spirit coming through their actions and the way they were speaking. You might be the only Christ they'll ever see, okay? We need to represent God. We need to represent Jesus Christ, okay? So in conclusion, when we arm ourselves with such qualities as truth, righteousness, the gospel, faith, the hope of salvation, the word of God, and prayer, then we were strong in the Lord and the power of his might. With such strength, we were able to resist, stand firm against anything Satan might throw against us. But the choice to put on the whole armor of God is up to us. Are we taking care to adorn ourselves with this wonderful armor? Okay, it says, the armor of God has already been tested. Faith in God is never misplaced. God wants you to be strong in him because the spiritual battle is won. Second, through prayer, notice all the alls. Pray at all times in the Spirit. It doesn't mean every second, but it does mean in all things. With all perseverance. Perseverance means determination. Okay, you're praying with perseverance, with determination. Okay, believing and trusting in God to do things in your life. Okay, this means that you are to continue to pray even though you do not seem to get an answer. And you don't seem to get an answer you want, not seem to be what you hoped for. And it says, pray also for all the saints. Are you praying for your brothers and sisters in Christ? Are you praying for those who run this church? Are you praying for your pastor? And Paul even asked for prayer so that he might be able to speak the gospel. Through Paul, though Paul is long dead and we cannot pray for him, you could pray for those who further the gospel. Okay. In order to be strong, in order for you to do, for you to fight the good fight of faith, you must put on faith, righteousness, and salvation. You must use the gospel, for which the word of God, and the last but not least, you must pray. That's the end of my sermon. And I hope we got it through today that we need to be strong in the Lord. We're fighting a fight, we're at war, okay? And you can just see it in a daily, just put on the news. Some days you just don't want to put on the news anymore to see what's going on, because it's rough out there. We'd rather just hide and go into a cave somewhere and just forget it's all happening. That'd be nice, but that's not the truth. Truth is, take a stand for Jesus Christ and it might cost you your life, okay? And think of the people who've gone before us, the martyrs and people who've really suffered for Jesus. And even today, they say there's more persecution today around the world of Christians than in any other time. We like to think of it back in Nero's day when they were burning Christians on a cross, but it's going on today. People are suffering, people are being killed and beaten and harmed and starved. Just look at our brothers in Bangladesh there. If you read what's going on over there, it's rough. It's a rough time. But we have hope in Jesus Christ. We serve a powerful God. Our God is an all-consuming fire, the Bible says. Powerful. It's not weak. Okay. Satan comes at us as like a roaring lion, it says in the Word. Okay, but his teeth are pulled out, okay? He could scare us a lot. It's said that a roaring lion could almost give you a heart attack just by his roaring, okay? But we know the truth, and we pick up the mouth, and we say, there's no teeth in there, okay? We are strong in Jesus Christ. Let us stand firm, planting our feet, okay, rooted and grounded in his word, giving him the glory for everything in our lives. I'm going to close in prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this word today, dear Father. We know there's many suffering throughout the world, dear Lord. We lift them up to you. Those who are afflicted today, dear Lord, those who are being starved to death, those who are being persecuted and mental torture, dear God. There's many hurtful things going on. Those who are suffering from these shootings, dear Lord. There's so many pain and hurt going on in the world, dear Lord. But we're strong in you, dear Father. We're standing for Jesus Christ today, dear Lord. Rooted and planted in your word. secure in the fact that we know we're saved. We've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We're headed home, dear Father. We're on that road that leads home. The world behind us, the cross before us, no turning back. No turning back, it says in that song, dear Father. Thank you, Lord, for loving us so much that you gave Jesus Christ to die for us. We give you all the glory and the honor and the praise today in Jesus' name. Amen.